sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Have you ever been to a symphony orchestra that consisted just of trumpets? Ever gotten to a zoo where it was just lions and nothing else? No, because the whole point of all of those things is where we find beauty in variety and multiplicity. The same thing is true in the body of Christ. The variety, the multiplicity, not just of people, but of states of life and vocations as well. But why is that true? And frankly, what difference does it make to my life? What do I do with that knowledge? What do I do with the insight? What is the Lord asking of me, whether you're a single person, an ordained person, a married person, whatever it is? That's what we're going to be talking about today on Ignition. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bergwald, and we want to set your faith ablaze so that you might live the adventure that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before we get into today's topic, we want you to know that we love listener feedback. So if you've got questions about today's episode, or if you have ideas for future episodes, please contact us. The easiest way to do so is by email, and the address is ignition@sfcatholic.org. Again, ignition@sfcatholic.org. I had to tease, in more ways than one, a new co-host, Ignition, who's here with me today, Tracy Austin. Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
I wasn't going to give out your email address, but people probably could find it if they just did a little bit of Googling. But for people who maybe have somehow never heard of you before, would you mind introducing yourself a little bit?
Yes. I'm Tracy Austin. I grew up in the diocese. I jumped around the Midwest a bit for 7 or 8 years, and I'm back. And I love it.
So you're back. Where are you back? What are you back doing?
Yes. So my title is campus minister. I do college campus ministry out of Christ the King Parish, but for the city of Sioux Falls. So Augustana, USF, Southeast Tech, and lots of other students that live in the city. Basically, as if we were a Newman Center for the whole city.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
I love college ministry. I've done it for several years now, and now I get to do it in, as I call it, God's favorite diocese. So
wow, nice.
I'm very blessed.
Now, just remember, people across the upper Midwest are listening. So it's not the other dioceses are bad.
No.
I mean, it's just,
God has favorites.
And yeah. So actually, we made a mistake. We made a critical spiritual error, Tracy, in this introduction. We focused on, well, I did at least, on what you do as opposed to who you are.
Yes.
So before we get to your doing, what's your being?
Oh, wow. What a question. Well, I am a daughter of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. I was recently married in September to my sweet Wesley, who I love very much. And
oh, my gosh. You're seriously.
Princess Bride.
Totally. Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, my dear Wesley, do you find hills on occasion to
throw myself down? See if he still loves me.
Elise has... Elise has not watched Tracy, how many times have you seen Princess Bride?
A handful. Not an excessive amount, but a handful.
Why not?
I love it.
Why not? I mean,
I don't know. I watched it with my dad a lot growing up, so it's a very much like a wholesome bonding film in my memory, but it's great. I love it.
Absolutely. That is right. Okay, anyway, great. So you got married recently to Wesley. Anything else about who you are?
Oh, that's so broad. I feel boring, but not that I can think of.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. No, I wanted, like, recently married was the thing. Because what's your maiden name?
Kalesa.
Because people might know the Kalesa name. I don't
know.
Like, because I've known you more as Tracy Kalesa than as Tracy Austin. So some people are like, this voice sounds familiar.
Right. And there's a lot of Kalesas. So people might know that name from Sioux Falls area, Watertown area, or up. I'm from near Aberdeen, small town called Warner. But yeah, I'm very blessed to have a very big family. So I'm still probably a Kalesa, but I'm now an Austin.
You're now an Austin. There we go. So we have you on this week and next week as well. And there's a couple of different things that you and I were brainstorming what to talk with. And so I teased in the open the whole idea of variety and multiplicity in the body of Christ. One metaphor I didn't go with was flowers. St. Therese of Lisieux, just a little compared herself as one kind of flower to others. But I was like, have you ever seen just one kind of flower? Well, actually, that happens all the time. So I couldn't go with that metaphor.
Indeed.
But I know this is something that, as you and I were talking about different possible topics, this is one of the ones that you were proposing. Talk a little bit about more about what we're talking about, what I was talking about in the opening, and why you think it's important for us.
Yes. It's a topic that I'm very passionate about, which is, I think, why it's one of the first things I offered to you. But I just love the truth that no matter what our vocation is, or if we're even in our vocation, how we really need each other. Because I think it can feel, not on purpose, but I think it feels a little divided sometimes. Yep. And the more personal experience for me is, so I was married in September at 29, which, while I am a young lady, compared to most of my Christian or Catholic friends, that was pretty late to get married. So for most of my adulthood in the faith, I was the single friend of many married friends, which was a great gift because I got to take notes for years on marriage, and I got to hear my friends share their struggles and what they did that I really loved, and wrestle with my own singleness of like, oh, I'm so happy for you all and your marriages. Great for you. And more friends being ordained or considering convents or getting married. And it's been more of a gift than I thought it was at 20, 21, 22, because I got to learn, but also I got to see that it's not like my friends got ordained and just transformed into different people and we don't speak. But now my seminarian friends are my priest friends.
Yeah.
It's different. Naturally, much like my married friends can't randomly go grab a beer at 7 p.m. because they have a few things going on, like bedtime, like they're children, but we're still friends. And I think...
And conversely, they might want to, can we get coffee at 7 a.m.? 7 a.m., are you kidding me? No.
Right. Which is my response when my married friends are like, how about 6:30? Oh, gosh, I won't be awake. But I think the lie that I know other people struggle with, but I definitely have, is that when my friends are in their vocation, they're good to go and they don't need me anymore. So I need to catch up and get to my vocation.
Right.
And so it was a beautiful walk with the Lord for me to learn that, like, as a single friend, I actually, maybe more so than I would now as a married friend, I have the capacity to love and serve my friends when they have a new baby. No matter where I lived, I could take the weekend and I could drive and stay with them and cook a couple meals and help with dishes. And when I have children at home, I won't as easily be able to leave my kids to go help someone else with their kid. It's still possible. It just looks different. So I don't know. I think the lie was that we're divided once we have a vocation. And the truth I've come to see is that we need each other so much, and that is good. It's not some checklist of, I have to call all my priest friends, call all my married friends. But it's a beautiful invitation, I think.
Yep. So there are specifically two kinds of relationships that I'd like to at least start with, and we'll see if we can get to others as well. One is friendships, relationships between the laity and the ordained. And secondly, within the laity, because so these are two of the ones that you talked about, single and married. The friendships between those two. So starting with lay and ordained, the reason I'm in this diocese is because when I was doing grad studies, I got to know a guy who was originally from the Twin Cities, but now lived in Sioux Falls, named Jim Mason, and now known as Father Jim Mason or Father James Mason, currently pastor at Holy Spirit. So Father Jim and I, he was not ordained yet. He was a seminarian studying, became good friends, and a lot of the other ordained priests of the Diocese of Sioux Falls, I got to know when I was studying theology, grad studies in theology in Rome. And I'm here because there was a job opening. Father Jim called me. He's been ordained for a year or two. And here we are. So I got to know a lot of, as you're talking about, you had seminarian friends who became priest friends. Mm-hmm. And a lot of seminarian friends who became priest friends. And I think that was really helpful for me, because a lot of cradle Catholics, we grow up and we, even in this day and age, with scandals and so on, I think there's still a tendency for us to sort of elevate priests. There's a right way to elevate priests, but there's a way where we shouldn't put them on. There's a right way and a wrong way to do that. And I think that we can do both. and the wrong way is like, thinking that they've got all figured out, and they haven't necessarily. Thinking that, well, I can never relate to them. They can never relate to me. Not true at all. And I think by getting in both of our experiences, getting to know seminarians who then were ordained, that really helps to overcome that false sense of putting them on a pedestal. So I want to talk a little bit about your experience of the value in having now priests as friends, but also if you can get inside their head, the value of them having you as a married woman, now married woman, but single woman before, as a friend. And before you do that, for me, the paradigm in this is JP2. I don't know if you know this part of it. You're nodding. I'm guessing you do. The part of his story is early on in his priesthood, he was involved in campus ministry in Krakow.
Oh, yeah.
And he really befriended a couple. And this is during communist Poland. So they had to be really surreptitious. Ooh, that was a word that just came off the tongue. Really, they'd be secretive about their relationship because the church was not being outrightly explicitly persecuted, but they were definitely keeping their eyes on priests and trying to discourage really pastoral care between priest and flock. Well, Father Wojtyła got to know a number of young people, some of whom were dating and eventually got married, and he maintained relationships with them. But I just love that model of him as initially a young priest, but again, even as he grew older, becomes a bishop, cardinal, archbishop, pope. He maintained those relationships with lay men and women who he knew, some of whom were single, some of whom got married, and he still maintained relationships. So that's always been to me a model of how it is possible, and not just possible, it's a good thing to have those relationships. I want to be really clear before we get into the concrete examples of our experience. We're not saying, well, therefore, you lay people who are listening, you need to go and force friend yourself on your priest. No.
Please don't.
But be open to having a relationship, a friendship.
Right.
With whether it be your priest or another priest that somehow, like, in other words, when the Lord sort of brings a priest into your life, don't be like, oh, I could never be friends with him. No, that might actually be. So
that's so true. And even treat them like another human.
Have
you ever been in a room with a priest who you're friends with chatting, and then other people join there and you see them kind of, oh, a priest, oh my, oh geez. I'm like, guys, it's whoever. It's just some dude, but he has a collar.
Right.
It's not some dude. Christ is so present working through this man. But especially now that friends that I knew younger have become priests, that's helped me be like, this is the same punk kid I grew up with.
Right.
I love him and respect him deeply.
Right.
But it's just so-and-so,
you know? Right, right.
Which, yeah, I imagine bishops feel this to a deeper level, but I would imagine it's very lonely to feel the room be on guard every time you enter a room, which is what I think priests feel, even in their own parish sometimes. Yep. I feel that to a tiny degree, but I think we get weird around priests sometimes, and I definitely have. And I think getting to know priests more personally, even in college, I can just like joke around with the priest. Joking's allowed.
Yep.
Interesting. And then through the years, getting to know people who were discerning the priesthood, like, oh, you're discerning the priesthood? You're normal. That's interesting.
Yep.
Wow. And just undoing the lies that I didn't even know I had.
Yep.
But I think, to that same extent, you explaining JP2, just having friends because he's a person who had friends, and then through all these steps is a pope who has the same friends. I think we mistakenly go, wow, how bold of him to like have these friendships. Whereas I think the real answer is like, who do you think you are that you could do this life without good friends?
Right.
Like,
right.
Once he's a cardinal, is that when he says, I can't talk to anyone from my hometown. I have a new hat and I don't speak to people. Because I don't know, the Christian life is the greatest gift ever. It can be incredibly lonely in my experience.
Yep.
And I've been blessed with just an insane amount of friendships that I'm so grateful for who've helped me grow in holiness. I don't know that I would pray if there weren't people in my life who would dare to say, have you prayed this week? You know?
Yep.
So, gosh, that's what I'm picturing if we say, like, he's a priest now. He's got a big parish.
Right.
Ablaze. Can't talk to him. He's probably busy. He probably needs someone to ask him about something not work-related so badly. He probably wants to watch the game and chat about just the game.
Absolutely.
Like a human person.
Yes. As we're recording, not as this airs, but as we're recording, it's March Madness. And I know a lot of our priests really are into, well, they might be into basketball, but like March Madness is a cultural thing. And so they might turn the TV on, watch a little bit of a game or something. Right. And so like, hey, Father, did you watch the game? As opposed, Father, can we talk about, you know, whatever it is. Like,
right.
Just to be able, to relate to people in the friendship.
Which it sounds so complex until you think about yourself and you're like, yeah, I come home from a long day of work and I would love to talk about not work, I suppose, even though they have like one of the greatest jobs. They're ministering to Christ's people, but I imagine they get tired and a little frustrated at times, you know?
Yeah, I think so, actually. As we're talking, this, by the way, Tracy, because you have, this is the sign that I'm really excited. When I start to move in my chair, that's like I'm starting to mess with the mic and move in my chair, which Elise just loves it when I do that. So I had started earlier than it started. At one point, I sort of said, well, let's maybe talk about lay priest and the married state. Actually, it doesn't really matter. The point is, I'm paraphrasing, I think, what you just said. We're created to be in relationship, in friendship. You and I, the three of us in this room, we're all married. Obviously, our spouses are important, but we're all called to friendship. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the point here is to be open. So even if you're a lay person and the person that you feel like a buddy in friendship is a priest, that's fine. If you're married and there's a single person, engage in a relationship with them. Don't put artificial walls or boundaries or forestall the possibility of a relationship with somebody just because they're in a different vocation or state in life than you. Would that be right?
I agree. And I think with the reminder that it's okay that it will look a little bit different than your friends who are also in your vocation. Because, I'm not going to meet up with my friends who have a lot of young children the same time as I was meet up with a fellow single friend who has the evening free.
Right, right.
And I have friends in religious life who I can write letters to. And if I'm in their town, I can see them. But even I had visited a friend of mine who's in the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful order. Sister Maria Luz and others. There's great women.
I've met her. Go ahead. Anyway.
She's amazing. Yeah, but she was in this period of discernment but we were still welcome to visit. We went for mass and then we were going to join them for breakfast and leave. And we were very intentionally seated separately from each other. Okay, I respect it. Yes, I'm a visitor. This is a place of prayer and discernment. And even at the end, we were saying goodbye and I was chatting. And this sister who was definitely more in charge, very lovingly but incredibly firmly, is like, you can go now. Oh, right. I don't get to... Girl, how's it been? Tell me about your prayer. No, this is a very protected space. I don't get to just swing by when I'm free. It was a great gift to visit at all. But that was it hurt at first because I'm a selfish little human and I want to see my friend. But once I processed it, I thought, this is just going to look different. Yep. She lives in a different town. She's engaged to Jesus, we could say. She needs to be focusing on that right now. Yep. And I am her single friend at the time. And I just have more time to write her a letter or see other friends. And so that was a good moment for me of like, oh, I got to see you. And now I need to leave because we don't get to just have coffee for hours. Yep. You have to pray all of your holy hours and do all your things. But it's different, but it's good, I think.
And it's as you said, it's okay that it's different. It can be different, but that doesn't mean... So the friendship manifests itself in a different way than it did when you were both single young women.
Definitely.
In that case. Similarly, whether you're a lay person with a friendship with a priest or a married lay person with a friendship with a single lay person, there are different forms of friendship, but they're all friendships.
Right.
So do you thinking... I guess maybe this is going back to some specific friends. Are there particular kinds of relationships that you think were kind of just the experience, especially working with college kids, college young men and women, who are kinds of relationships that we generally should be more attentive to because we are neglecting them, do you think?
Ooh, do you mean certain this vocation to this vocation?
Yes.
I think I just really have a heart for our priests. So that's always in my mind of our priest might be lonely. Don't forget to speak to him like a person. But I also do think that I know other adults like very holy single adult Catholics, like up to their 40s and 50s, who are just not married. And I think that we have this, we don't always know what to ask them because there's not a spouse next to them to say, oh, I haven't met your spouse yet. And there's not a baby in their arms to say, how far, like, is he walking? And we just don't know what to say because, oh, I've been married for so long. I don't want you to feel insulted, but I don't actually know what a 40-year-old single person does for fun. So I'm embarrassed and I'm just going to leave, grab my donut and go. And it's our own self-consciousness, I think. I don't think anyone's trying to be rude. But I've talked to a fellow parishioner at my home parish. I said, man, when I moved here and I was just some single lady in the pews, I could feel that people didn't know how to talk to me simply because they were like, what do we even ask her? She doesn't have a baby. I don't see a ring. I don't know. She must have single friends. And there's like some loneliness there. And I think people feel maybe even unwelcome in church, even though everyone's happy they're there. I think we all assume everyone else is taken care of is the big problem. They must be fine. They look young and happy. They must be fine. They have a wife. What more do you need? Friends? You must be fine. I think that's the biggest lie is like, they must be taken care of.
So this is because this is probably the extrovert in me talking, but I'm okay. That's not fair to introverts because a lot of extroverts are just as awkward as what you're describing. But I'm like,
sure.
Are the only questions that people have to ask is, oh, tell me about your spouse, or oh, tell me about your baby. Like, just okay.
But
so
I
Tracy,
think...
help us, help us yes. grow in our ability to form new relationships. So for people who are struggling or who feel awkward about, I don't know how to. What do I say to the single 40-year-old guy or the single 45-year-old woman at my parish? For some of us, we're like. Well, duh, just talk to them. But I recognize
that's
for others,
scary.
Like, oh, yeah, scary. Yeah.
My first thought is something I've been trying to get better at. I'm within my second year as a parishioner at Christ the King. And I see people almost every day at daily mass. We know each other. We smile at each other. We've never spoken.
Yeah.
That's on me. I've been trying to start.
Can I actually interject there?
Sure.
Does it matter in that case whether they're single or married? Is this just about... how to form friendships?
This is a fair point. It might be slight. It might
Which
seem more
no,
difficult
fine.
If we're in different vocations, but I think, especially at daily mass, I'm a young, seemingly single person, and they are older, married people.
Sure.
And I've been starting to just say today, someone stopped me afterwards and said, "Did you want to lecture? Or did I cut you off?" And I said, "No, it's totally fine." And then we both kind of smiled and said, "I see you every day.
Yep.
What is your name?"
Yep.
And he goes, "Steve," and toss his hand over. "Steve, great to meet you." We just laughed at our own kind of idiocy of
yep.
like, we see each other frequently. I see you more than I see some of my closest friends. What was your first name? And then I met his wife and it was great. And I was so happy leaving daily mass today. I'm like, wow, I met a guy that I feel like I already know. But we
yep.
shook hands and there was a human moment.
Yep.
And we didn't have to talk for 5 minutes. Do you have kids? Where do you work? We just had a really lovely
right.
moment.
Yeah.
And then he left with his wife and I went to have lunch.
Yep.
It was so lovely. And I think that makes it less scary when I think about meeting other people. Just, have you been a parishioner here for a while? Oh, maybe I just haven't seen you at this mass. Great. Do you live in Sioux Falls? Awesome. I'm kind of new. Well, it was good to meet you.
Yeah.
Like,
what was your name
simple.
Again? Sorry. Me, like I'm somebody who, when I first meet somebody, we can say, you can tell me your name's Tracy. And then we start having them like, what was her name?
Right.
So for me, that's really, it does
right.
reinforce, like, oh, sorry, I know this is stupid. But being willing right. to be just vulnerable and transparent that way, like,
totally.
It is awkward. But the more you do this, even with different people, it's
yeah.
whatever it is. What was your name again? That's right. I'm sorry. So
right.
it was great to meet you. Thanks for, you know, chatting.
Yeah.
Have a great day. Whatever. I do think, and part of this is, we could kind of go meta here, but I don't know if we have time. Do you think it's always, is this just a human reality or do you think this is somehow a cultural moment thing? The fact that it's hard for us to like, how do I approach, what again, kind of regardless of state in life,
sure.
How do I approach somebody I don't know? Like what's an icebreaker? Do you think people like our grandparents, great-grandparents were better at this or is this just part of the human condition?
Oh, that's a good point. Because to a certain extent, I think it's always been a little hard. Or there's that moment of, okay, I need to talk to this person now. I like kind of build up your confidence. But I do think it's gotten harder, I might say, just various things, technology, COVID. We kind of forgot how to speak to strangers.
Yep.
And everyone has a million things going on in their mind and in their life.
Yep.
And that's swirling in their head as they leave Mass. And then I pop up with my big smile. I'm like, what's your name? Like, I could see someone being like, please let me get my toddler home. I don't even. But we also need that human connection, even if it is like, okay, I'm really hungry. I kind of want to leave Mass.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really glad I talked to that person, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to a certain extent, I think it's always been difficult just with our own self-consciousness.
Yep.
But I think it's so, if anything is worth working through the awkwardness at, I think it's human connection for our community. Yeah.
Yep. So I do think, just as we got a couple minutes left here, mm-hmm. I do think that especially in a cultural moment where we have so many quote unquote virtual friendships, but I mean, study after study is documenting the fact that people, adults today, have fewer and fewer compared to prior generations, real friendships, meaningful relationships, outside of marriage, and frankly, even within marriage, but outside of marriage, that's increasingly the case. So maybe there might be a heightened urgency for us to be intentional about being open to new friendships and being willing to put yourself out there with a stranger. And I do think, like, just if it's somebody that you have seen at Mass, just that is to me the way to approach them. I've seen you here for a number. Are you guys new here? In fact, that happened recently at my parish, actually. And they'd been here for a couple few months, and I just had never met them before. So, oh no, we've been coming here for a few months. Like, oh, my name's just Bergwald, my wife Jermaine, our kids, blah blah blah. That's just to me an easy, natural way.
Right, and if they say we've gone here for 20 years, you don't have to suddenly I've ruined it. Like,
right.
You
no.
feel like, wow, how crazy that we haven't met.
Yeah, exactly.
My name's Tracy. Yeah. I've been here for just a couple years. I'm glad we're meeting.
The self-deprecators amongst me. I am such a knucklehead. I'm so sorry that I've not seen you before.
Right.
Whatever. This is where this not a script. Just be yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do think so. I'm glad that you proposed this topic because, again, that last thing that I said, I think today we need to foster good relationships.
Yes.
Thanks, Tracy.
Yeah.
And folks, that will wrap up this episode of Ignition. Again, you can email us ignition@sfcatholic.org with any questions about today's episode or ideas for future ones. And until next time, may God bless you.